And now the letters. Here's a selection of the many received by the Evening News in the past 7 days, including mumbling on television and a community imbalance in areas of our fine city.
Reader Susan Phillips of Norwich is keen on the concept of making science more interesting for the young, but the recent Norwich Cathedral Science Festival is not her cup of tea. She writes, "With regard to the Norwich Cathedral Science Festival, I am always delighted to see any event which makes science more interesting and popular with children. Tim Peake is doing a fantastic job in the International Space Station, helping to make so much of science accessible and inclusive to all. However, I am saddened to see items of food being wasted, particularly with regard to the bishop walking on custard at the event. Throughout the diocese, there are dozens of families attending food banks every week just to help them feed themselves to an adequate standard. Please let us see lots more experiments for children to enjoy, but not with food, which so many people in our county, country and the world do not have enough of. Custard is for eating, not walking on. Baked beans are for eating, not bathing in. Please find other ways to carry out experiments and fundraising."
He lived his life in the shadow of his famous father, and Frank Sinatra Jr., who passed away a few days ago, is remembered by Doug Fulcher of the Norwich Jazz and Big Band Society. He writes, "The death this week of Frank Sinatra Jr. is a reminder that at the tender age of 19, this young man appeared at the now dismantled Gaumont Cinema in Norwich. Young Frank, the only son of a very distinguished father, had been the subject of a kidnap attempt a few months previously, before he visited Norwich as part of a European tour, together with the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra, directed by Sam Donoghue, the Pied Piper's singing group, and singer Helen Forrest, the voice of the big bands, and a star in her own right. Frank Jr. followed in his father's footsteps as a singer, and also as an actor, conductor, and musical director for Frank Sr., and was in fact on a musical tour in America when he died in Daytona at the age of 72. He'll be remembered in Norwich by the 900 or so people who saw him at the Gaumont in February 1964. The tickets were 10 shillings and sixpence, that's 52 and a half pence in today's money, and recall him as a pleasant young man starting to make his way through life in the wake of a very famous father. A difficult task, but one in which he succeeded. Well done, and rest in peace."
Reader Mark Stanton of Norwich is concerned that the balance of the community is under threat. He writes, "As a long-term resident of over 35 years around the Unthank Road area of Norwich, I have seen a lot of change. One of the area's attraction is the very positive mix within the local community of young and old, families and students. I'm now concerned that this happy balance is at risk due to the growing number of houses of multiple occupations, or HMOs as they are called. Norwich City Council needs to look at adopting the necessary planning powers in support of local communities to ensure the buy-to-let investors and their agents do not exploit the housing stock and upset this unique balance. We as a community welcome responsible students or anyone else who wants to live and contribute locally. What we do not want to become is solely a student campus or just an investment portfolio for absentee landlords with no vested interest in our housing other than to make a profit. With strong legal and democratic measures put in place, things can be good for all. I would urge those councillors who have planning powers to adopt policies that allow this vibrant and cohesive community to thrive and retain its local character and prosperity."
A lot of comment in the Evening News over the past few months about the cycleways in development in and around the city. Norwich councillors say they've learned from mistakes as they push on with the next stage of the £8 million scheme. Here are a few more comments received this past week by email. Normal for Norfolk says, "There are small parts of the Pink Pedalway that are good, just across Mousehold, excluding Gurney Road. But generally, it's a complete waste of money." And Labratone adds, "Given that most cyclists seem to shun cycle paths, even when they're provided, I can't help feeling this money would be better spent on social housing, social services, or just repairing the potholes and white lines in existing roads." And the final word goes to Frank Young, who says, The main gripe for me is the lack of signposting to tell you where the pink pedalway route actually is.
Sound quality is something we at Chatterbox are always very aware of. In his letter, Reg Parsons of Horning raises the subject of sound quality in some television productions. He writes, I found Sally Wainwright's interview on BBC Breakfast recently most interesting. However, the subject of sound quality was raised regarding her acclaimed series Happy Valley, and although she was happy with the post-production performance, she admitted a number of complaints had been made regarding the sound quality. This problem is not in fact limited to just a few dramas. In fact, a number of my aged friends say many fine quality dramas are spoilt by this problem. When I watch black and white movies made in the 1940s, I do not have a problem. So what one would imagine is great advancement in audio technology in the past 70 years. Why do we not get better results?
And bearing in mind what you've just heard from Reg Parsons, if our sound quality doesn't cut the mustard with you, please let us know. It's important to us. Now, in a short while, Francis Pierce will be here to read Derek James's feature on Archie Sillars, sometimes described as Norwich's very own Billy Cotton. But now, it's back to the news.